You know, I turned off my iPad, so it's just got to boot up, and we'll continue with the Kaliya Leela. Take me a second to get there. So, happy New Year, everyone. I just had my, I don't stay up, I had my New Year's Eve dinner with the family that I'm staying with. It's been quite a few days here in the Holy Dom. Henry, if you're on, you can tell me the verse, but I don't know. Okay, it's the phone's. I think I know which verse it is, so. Okay. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam Chandavega Vishavirayam Avekshatena Dushtam Nadim Chakalasam Yamanavatara Krishna Kadambam Adiruha Tato Titungam Ashvotya Gadra Rasano Yapadad Vishodhe. Lord Krishna saw how the Kaliya serpent had polluted the Jamuna River with his terribly powerful poison. Since Krishna had descended from the spiritual world, specifically subdue envious demons, the Lord immediately climbed to the top of a very high Kadamba tree and prepared himself for battle. He tightened his belt, slapped his arms, and then jumped into the poisonous water. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Greetings from Sridhar Mayapur. I'm just going to shut my windows. Be right back. Yeah, nice to hear about Krishna. And hearing about Krishna is hearing about the devotees, because God is the supreme enjoyer, and enjoyer is love. and love is an exchange. I explained this before, Eko Bahu Sham. The one became many for the exchange of love. So Krishna means with his devotees. Prabhupada did not like someone came to him with a painting of Krishna alone. Krishna means with his devotees, he's exchanging love. And the love that he's experiencing is the objective of our life, prema pumartha mahan. The greatest thing of value is love, and the topmost love is to love God. It's universal love. It's existential love. It means it's not just a mental thing, but it's an energy of God that nourishes our sentiments, our mood of service, to offer that energy back to God. That's why chanting is devotional service, because we're offering our consciousness to God. And this is the ultimate, Rasa Vaisnava means this is the ultimate reality. If this is really the thing that has most meaning, the perfectional state of a living entity is called a devotee. I quote that many, many times. When water is pure, it's just water. When we're pure, we are just consciousness, which is for service and love. And somehow or other have gotten another idea, another type of faith, that we're meant for control and enjoyment. And that's what the world promotes. They may say otherwise, but that's what it promotes. That's what every advertisement promotes. That's what every billboard promotes. That's what the schools, the universities, they're promoting this me consciousness. Which is antithetical and unnatural. It's different from what we're made of and what we're made for. We're made of God, we're made for God. That is our nitya dharma. That's our eternal nature. That's our essence. And these stories exemplify the consciousness which we should aspire for, and that's why we read these stories, because we can get that inspiration to serve Krishna. We get that inspiration from the beauty and the qualities of Krishna, and we get that inspiration from the beauty of the people who love him. And this story is so pronounced in that way. And, just to go back, just the imagery of the cowherd boys drinking the water and dropping dead in the shore, in the water. The Shrapyamana, the water's boiling, it's all poisonous. Krishna showering them with his tears, which is an expression of his own mercy, which is what gives life. Krishna himself in the Leela is affected by this. He's not in the immanent consciousness that he's all-knowing. This is real to him, because the ultimate reality is love, and the cowherd boys need to experience that. And they wake up to Krishna, their savior, and they have this incredible, incredible shared bliss, something that they share as if one mind, they share the mercy of Krishna, which is the form of love which comes from above, anugraha, or mercy. And by the mercy of Krishna, which is his love, they're brought to life. And then Krishna, seeing how the serpent has polluted the Jamuna, takes action as the hero on a Kintamba tree, which, surcharged with spiritual ecstasy, is alive. While everything else is dead, and Krishna jumps up to the top of the branch. Remember, there's a, not a very thick branch, but almost like a springboard. Krishna jumps, manifests his Aishvarya Shakti, his not just as an ordinary boy, but as supremely powerful, and he jumps into the water. And the water cascades for, I think, 200 meters, which is 100 bow lengths. And so we'll read the next verse. And while we're listening to this, see, this is how bhakti works. When we hear about Krishna, we will become attracted to Krishna. And when you're attracted to something, you want to serve something. And you can't serve something if you put yourself in the middle. So when you become attracted to something, when you become attracted to God, it also attracts you to your position, which is not in the middle, because that's not where love flows for the jiva, the living entity. That's why we circumambulate as a practice of devotional service. We want our mind to go where the body goes, so the body goes around. When you go around Govardhan, something else is in the center, and just that conception of something being greater, what is greater is in the center. God is in the center. God is Ishvara. Vara means the circumference, and Ish means the controller or the center. The center is the one thing that is connected to everything else. God is the one thing that's connected to everything else. Although I do like that point that Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj made. I'm not sure if he got it from a contemporary Western philosopher which he studied, but where there is no circumference, the center is everywhere. God is everywhere. He's the center everywhere. He's transcendental. He's other dimensional. He's beyond time and space. So we hear about his exploits and his prowess, and we hear the beauty of the intense beauty. This is, you'll see here, love which is unparalleled. The people have family, and the value of their family is their relationship with Krishna. The cowherd boys have wives, and the attraction to their wives is their relationship to Krishna, not their love for themselves. So everything is so intensely focused on God. What this is saying is that there's an ultimate reality which is unbounded love. That's the ultimate reality. And again, I make the point, why should that not be a reasonable conception of an ultimate? Whether you believe it or not, what would the ideal be? For most people, what the ideal be? It would be unbounded love. Because that's what everyone is, there's some sense of that. Anybody who has some decency. And even people who don't, it's because they don't have that love. And they're frustrated by that. So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead landed in the Serpent's Lake, the snakes there became extremely agitated and began breathing heavily, further polluting it with volumes of poison. So they become even more angry. We mentioned before, they're poison. It's a gas that comes out from their mouths. Gas is fire. You light a match, you see it's fire. So it's heating up everything. The force of the Lord's entrance into the lake caused it to overflow on all sides, and poisonous, fearsome waves flooded the surrounding lands up to the distance of 100 bow lengths, that's 200 meters. This is not all amazing, for the Supreme Lord possesses unlimited strength. So this is his Isha Cheshtata. These are pastimes of opulence that invoke respect. I did mention many, many times, I like the point so much, I'll mention it again. Madhvacharya had one comment where in the middle of Krishna Leela, we see his opulence is shown, his power is shown. And he said, the pot in which all relationships are held is Dasya. If it's Madhurya, it's Madhurya Dasya. It's conjugal love as service. It's parental love as service. It's friendship as service. So the mood of service is prominent. And service is inspired for the conditioned soul by opulence. Something is great, it inspires service. Prabhupada gave the example of aboriginals, you know, worshiping a great tiger or a great mountain. There's such a sense of wanting to feel reverence in a mood of service. Everyone wants something greater than themselves. In some sense, not everyone. Demons don't, but generally people do. So this sets the scene of Krishna's beautiful power. He jumps in the water, and it creates the scene for the rasa to expand. Krishna began sporting in Kaliya's lake like a lordly elephant, swirling his mighty arms and making the water resound in various ways. When Kaliya heard these sounds, he understood that someone was trespassing in his lake. The serpent cannot tolerate this and immediately came forward. It's interesting, an elephant is called hasti, and the root of hasti is hand, because the elephant's trunk is a hand. Yeah, so it's hasti. It's an animal where it has this hand. And he's swimming in the water and resounding in various ways. He's somehow making sounds. And he's undisturbed, he's fearless, and he's casually swimming in this poison, he's rinsing his mouth with it, he's not at all disturbed, and he's playing in the water, and he's making these sounds, and the elephant, the Kaliya serpent, he comes forward. And I discussed this point before. You know, what is the core of our material consciousness? Is it just sensual or egotistical? And these are the two forms of enjoyment. And ego is so powerful. False ego is so powerful. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. So the controller means that you have jurisdiction over something. It's important to you. What controller means, there's a certain something you can move according to your desires. Just like one of the reasons, supposedly, for sannyas, I know it doesn't exist so much in the modern age, is that when you have your own place, you put things around you according to your desires, which gives you the misconception that you are the controller. Because what a controller does is move the environment around them for their own desires. So it creates an illusion of the controller. And the idea with, you know, the sannyas ashram, as one gets older, he becomes detached and he gives up that control to realize who is actually control. And then sannyas wanders in the forest, completely detached. He doesn't make any effort for his food. He doesn't make any effort for his shelter. But somehow God provides, and he begins to feel love in the environment. Generally, when we have our own place, we feel control in the environment because we've put the picture where we want. We move the furniture where we want. We have the candies where we want. We have the kitchen the way we want. So the tendency is, if one doesn't have a deity, and not just having a deity, but having the consciousness, especially with the kitchen, that God is the enjoyer, that's the purpose of the deity, especially for grihasthas. To shift the consciousness in the house from subject to object, from looking at the house as mine to looking at yourself as Krishna's. That's the trick of devotional service. Looking at yourself as Krishna's. So this is the nature, and that's why people conquer, that's why people have money, they want power, that's why they try to get beautiful generally, they want power. They want to control. And therefore, when you're immersed in that consciousness, you become extremely upset if someone violates that conception by walking on your property without permission. Where are you going, boy? They take out the shotgun. Where are you going, boy? You become very, very upset. That's why in Indian culture, which is a beautiful culture to promote spirituality, when it's designed perfectly or nicely, the guest is Atithi Bhagavan. The guest is God. And if I'm traveling around, it's definitely a different experience generally when going to an Indian's house than a Western's house. Because the Indian, you know, they're out of their bedroom. This is not my house. They, you know, the mother and father will move. They'll sleep on the couch, give you their bedroom. It's the whole consciousness. It comes within the culture. And the culture is to foster service, etc., and free people from that materialistic conception of household life. By not looking, consciously not looking at this house as mine, it's the guest, it's Krishna's. So Kaliya serpent is amimsyamana, unable to tolerate. Unable to tolerate. prekshaniya sukamara ganabhidatam shri vatsa pitta vasanam smita sundarasyam shri dantam apratibhayam kamalodarangrim sandashyamarma suvusha pujaya chachada. Kaliya saw that Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate, his attractive body shining like a glowing white cloud, his chest bearing the mark of Sri Vatsa, his face smiling beautifully, and his feet resembling the whirl of a lotus. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in the coils. So, it's interesting, vision, how attitude affects perception. Perception is not just the senses, it's how you assimilate the knowledge, because the senses perceive something and then ascribe some qualities to it based on their previous experience. So it's a combination of identification and projection. Affects our perception, our attitudes, especially envy. Envy doesn't allow us to see someone's good qualities even if they exist. So this perception here is very puzzling with Kaliya. For one, he bites him furiously, even though he's so beautiful. And the anger overcomes his judgment because he's just a young boy. If a little child comes into your room, what's the big deal? You know, and why should you feel threatened? And also, he should be a little concerned because Krishna is just doing like backstrokes and the poison and just relaxing, and he's not fearful and nothing on his body was disturbed. But the envy was impelling him to act. Hate, resentment is a cloud that covers the perception of the soul. Therefore, the first principle of yoga is ahimsa. Because if you have hate, the shadows of resentment will prevent you from seeing the true self in others and yourself. So that's one thing, is that he doesn't appear to see. Yet the description is he's coming out of the water like at a 45 degree angle, and Krishna is there, and Krishna has these yellow garments. He's so delicate. His body is shining, and Smita, he's smiling, Sundara, beautiful, whose face, Asyam, he's smiling so beautiful, and Smita is a smile that doesn't need external cause. Like today, what a day. I was a godbrother of mine, Nareshwara, who's been here for about 40 years, has a beautiful house in Mayapur, and his son's the head of the Gurukul, and so he invited me for lunch, and he's Indian, but he's expert at pizza and Italian things. Anyway, I was there with Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami, and Jagadish came with me. And it's pleasant. You're with friends. And I was making jokes, and people were laughing. So they were laughing, but there was an external cause. And both of them are just the kind of types that you can be with them and no one can say anything. You know, everyone's silent. It's hard for me to stay in a group where no one's talking. So I had to, I made them laugh. But that has external cause. While Krishna's smile, Smita Sundara Asyam, whose face is beautifully smiling. And what is Krishna's beautiful face smiling? Mean? It means, and smita is when the teeth are not showing. And it's the kind of smile which you see sometimes in someone who is just so extremely pious that their body is radiating kind of goodness and piety, and they have a natural smile without laughing. So this is smita. Krishna has this beautiful smile, which is just a reflection of his goodness. And apriti bhayam kridantam, apriti bhayam, without fear, he's playing. He's not at all disturbed. And then Kaliya bites him on the chest and wraps him in the coils. Sanatana Goswami looks at this verse through Bhava and makes a commentary. And his bhava is that nothing harmful can happen to Krishna. So the snake is actually kissing Krishna on the chest. And when he wraps him in the coils, he's embracing him. So that's how he sees it. And the reason why Sanatana Goswami sees that, because he says, if Kali is so envious, then how can he see Krishna's beauty? Because the description here, he saw Krishna. And he saw Krishna's delicate. He saw his yellow garments. He was attractive. His chest bearing them, smiling beautifully. But if he was so envious, how would he see Krishna? Naham prakasya sarvasya yoga maya. I am covered to the foolish and unintelligent. We cannot see Krishna unless Krishna gives himself to us. And I make that point. That's just natural human psychology, that you can never see someone just by intellectual analysis. You can only see someone in a loving relationship when your service inspires them to give themselves to you. I love when Rupa Goswami is citing all his beautiful poetry, and the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they're so amazed by what he's doing. And then they're wondering, and then he not only is beautiful poetry, but he's understanding some very, very deep things about Lord Chaitanya, about who Lord Chaitanya is and what mood that he wants to experience, which, frankly, no one could really understand, because when he's singing and dancing in a particular mood in the Ratha Yatra, people were confused. They couldn't really understand what he... But Rupa Goswami understood. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, he understood his mind. So people were saying, how did he get so much of Lord Chaitanya's mercy? Because evidently he was so empowered to explain the inner sentiments of Lord Chaitanya. So the question is how did he get his mercy? And then they said, someone else said in the pastime, Lord Chaitanya marked him by his service. Because service is the expression of love that enables another to trust you and give himself to you. So it's the service is the expression of love. When the actions are born out of love, it's service. And that's what bhakti is. It's not just a consciousness. It's consciousness or love in action. And therefore, Prabhupada specifically defined bhakti as devotional service. And again, I've quoted this many times, this definition from Bhakti Sandarbha, at least from the introduction of what is bhakti. Bhakti is best expressed in seva. And what is seva? Loving responsiveness to the Lord through the faculties of the mind, body, and word. Not just love, it's love in response to an object of love. Not just the love, it's the response. And the response carries that love and expresses that love. So somehow or other he's seeing this, that Krishna, that Kali is kissing Krishna and then embracing Krishna. He can only understand it in this way because he has this clear vision who Krishna is, unfettered by what would normally be envy or resentment that prevent someone from giving themselves to you for your exploitation of them. The cows. Text 11. The cows, bulls, and female calves in great distress called out when the members of the cowherd community who would accept Krishna as their dearmost friend, Tat Priya Sakha, the friend that is most dear, when the members of the cowherd community had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, Kalatra, it's going to explain, saw him enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. They offered Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wives, their wealth, and all pleasure. At the sight of the Lord in the clutches of the Kaliya snake, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation, and fear, and thus they fell to the ground. Minutes before they were playing with Krishna, they were laughing with Krishna, they were joking with Krishna. Minutes before. And now, all of a sudden, he's Naga Boga Parivitam. He's enveloped in the coils of the serpent, Adrishta Cheshtam, not exhibiting any movement. Alokya, seeing this, Tat Priya Sakha, his dear friends, and Pashupa, the cowherds, Brisha, are greatly disturbed. Why? Because Krishnarpita, they offered everything to Krishna, their Atma, Surit, their relations, Artha, wealth, Kalatra, wives. Again, the commentators say most people have a wife to serve them. They're attracted to their wives because of their relationship with Krishna. So when they see this Krishna limp, the person they just before, minutes before, were playing with, at the sight of this, they they experience intense pain, remorse, fear, bewildered, their intelligence. And these emotions are churning their love, which is Krishna's pleasure and their own, ultimately. So what this pastime is doing, the lila, is facilitating rasa. So the friends, they love Krishna, they faint. The cows, they're mooing. The cows, bulls, and female calves in great distress called out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they stood still in fear as if ready to cry but too shocked to shed tears. So the calves now, you have the image. The calves and the cows and the bulls, they're crying out. Krandamana. Sudukitam, distressed, very distressed. When someone is in pain, they may cry. When they're in more pain, they may go into coma. And if they're in more pain, they may even die. This pain is considered greater than that. It's sudukitam. It's the greatest pain. And the greatest pain is to lose a loved one. And the more you love that person, the greater the pain will be. We see tragedies where people lose prematurely one of their children or someone they know. It's the most intense pain. According to the relationship in love, and there's no greater love than the love of God, the intensity of it, the purity of it, anyabhilashitashunyam. And now Krishna is gone. Krishna is gone. And the cows are crying piteously. And what's happening is all the different devotees of Krishna will assemble in this pastime and simultaneously be expressing their different flavors of love for Krishna. And they stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked. In Vrindavan area, there then arose all three types of fearful omens. Those on the earth, those in the sky, and those in the bodies of living creatures, which announced imminent danger. So there's a science of omens that people know by things around you, especially the left side of a man and the right side of a woman trembling. I told you this before, but there's certain things, certain circumstances that are unpleasant to me that will be definitely indicated by my left eye twitching. But now, these are three types of fearful omens. In the sky, there's meteors, the ground is trembling. And, you know, if there's one omen, but all three omens at the same time. And usually omens foretell something, but these omens are happening after. And when the cowherd boys see this, because all they can think of is Krishna. What happened to Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then they say, well, at least he's with Balaram. But no, Balaram stayed back. Now they're even in more fear because Balaram would always protect Krishna and they'd have that faith. So they're in this village and then the ground is shaking and meteors are falling. And this is happening all at once, all bad omens. And immediately said, where is Krishna? And it said they ran out of the village like animals, meaning that human beings, when there's danger, they'll call a quick assembly, assess it, and make some program. But no, animals just... So they begin to run out of the village, screaming, and some running into trees, rolling on the ground. And they're just thinking, Krishna, 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 where is Krishna? and their consciousness on Krishna out of love and their love of Krishna, it just continually, is enhanced. So now the scene is set where the Leela is invoking different emotions that are heightening one's affection for Krishna. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Would anybody like to say hello? Because, you know, it's night here, and I get up about 1:30, so by this time, generally, anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Hey, Tota, we'll see you soon. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sundarananda Gopal Das. Thank you.
Hi, Sundar. Thank you. Gopal, was that you? Hi, Bo.
Hare Krishna.
This is Chaitanya Priya.
Okay, Hare Bo, Chaitanya Priya. Hare Bo. Anybody else say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Janine.
Janine, thank you. Great. Who else? Someone else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Radha. Priya.
Okay, it's Gail, Kishori, Radha, and Priya. Okay, great. Somebody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Vikram.
And Stephanie.
Oh, great. Thank you for coming on. Okay, who else?
No time for questions, Maharaj, today?
Of course there's time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just interested in having you elaborate on the fact that, you know, you're distinguishing between mundane marital relationships and the relationships in a spiritual world between husband and wife. And so the attraction to the Gopa's wives was the wives' relationship to Krishna, you were saying. So I was just wondering if you could, like, elaborate on that. A little bit.
Well, everyone loves Krishna. That's their prime love, and everything's in relationship with that. So the attraction for someone else is based on their relationship with Krishna. Just like if you really, really love someone, you'll love someone who loves that person. For example, probably not a good, because I think, Gail, you love my mother more than you do me. But anyway, just for let's say you love my mother because she's my mother and you have a relationship with me, but I know now you have an independent relationship with her. But just the sake of example, it kind of works out that you love someone so much. So people, they love Mother Yasoda so much. Why do they love Mother Yasoda so much? Because she's Krishna's mother. But they really love Mother Yasoda so much, but because she's Krishna's mother. So what it's trying to exemplify is that there's this intense love for God. And they love everything in relationship to God. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Anybody else like to say hello? Kishori Radha, are you there?
Yes, Gumaraj, I am.
You know, I sent Jaishi Radhe a message about doing, you know, helping me organize Russia and a program there. So you could remind her to respond to me, or okay?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'll call her today.
Okay. Tell her that I need to see her response to my letters. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay,
Mara.
We'll end for now. Priya, who's that?
Priya.
Oh, Priya, Hare Krishna, yes.
I just wanted to let you know that I saw your email. I just forgot to respond to it.
Who is this?
Priya.
What? Oh, I sent an email?
It was a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you're very busy. When you get a chance, you'll do it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, thank you. Okay, and we'll see you soon in Puri. Oh, Priya?
Yeah?
I saw Narada Muni. You remember Narada Muni that came with his daughter?
Yeah.
Chintamani.
And his wife was taking some treatment in Vrindavan. So, but I said, are you coming to Puri? And he said, well, you know, my wife is taking some treatment. And I said, Priya is coming. So then about 2 hours later, he rode his bicycle by me and he said, okay, Chintamani's coming. But she'll be 2 days late. Okay.
She wrote to us, actually.
Okay.
We're very excited.
He didn't know when he wasn't coming, but when I mentioned to him, yeah. Okay, good. Okay. I guess I'm going to head out now. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.